So tonight, before we even jump into the text and start unpacking it, I want to talk to you guys about the three main ways that the Word of God is going to transform our lives. Three main ways, again, that the Word of God is going to transform your lives. Or maybe even another way to say it, if the Word of God is not an active part of your life, then you should not expect transformation, or at least the kind of transformation that the Word of God speaks of. The first way that we are transformed by the Word of God is by the preaching of it. We have a responsibility, those of us who stand up in front and do what I am doing here, to boldly and clearly preach the Word of God. And I'm going to go as far to say that Sunday and Thursday nights, for those who are members of this church and for those who attend this church, are some of the most important moments in your Christian walk. Because when you come into a place like this to hear the Word of God preached, there should be an anticipation in your life, because you are putting yourself in a position with a prepared heart and a prepared mind to be transformed by the Word of God. If you are not in the practice of spending some time in prayer before coming in here, whether it be gathering with us at 6:15 or whether it be before you even show up here on a Thursday or a Sunday night, I would encourage you to take time for preparation, to say, God, I want to hear from your word tonight. I want to be transformed by your word tonight. I want to leave here ready to take what was shared and have it influence my life in a way that Christ-likeness will be seen in a different way than what it was seen before I came in here. Two is inside of community, the Word of God should impact our life. In our community, there are some who have the gift of teaching, but also inside of our community are people who have been called to encourage one another with the Word of God. There is no Christian that is off the hook of encouraging with the Word of God and being encouraged with the Word of God. This is something that we should be participating in. For those of us who have a teaching gift, those gifts are usually used on Tuesday nights. And here, starting this Sunday, Richard is going to be using his teaching gift to go through the book of Revelation. And God has called teachers to proclaim his word. But he has also called us as Christians to be willing to share the Word of God with one another. And then there's one more area that I want us to consider tonight, and that is our personal digging into the Word of God, where we set aside time regularly to get into the Word of God. Now, there is nowhere in Scripture that decrees that we get into the Word of God every single day, but something we believe in this church is the importance of being in the Word of God daily, because we truly believe that the Word of God is what transforms men and women's life. And with that said, tonight we're going to be specifically focusing on the elders' role in preaching and teaching, but I also wanted you guys to understand that that is not the only time that you should be participating in the Word of God. It should be a daily part of our lives. The second thing I want to talk about is this, the need for humility. If I could have created a way for everyone who claims the name of Christ that comes to Legacy Community Church to be here tonight to just hear one part of this sermon, it would be what I'm getting ready to share with you guys right now. Because I believe that humility is the most essential piece in being transformed by the Word of God. A person who is not humble is a person that is not going to be transformed by the Word of God. On the back end of this portion of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 5, it tells us not only as younger people to be subject to the elders, but it tells us to clothe ourselves, all of us, with humility toward one another. Why is that? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The question is, as a Christian, do I want to work out or walk in opposition to God? Do I want to be living in a way that inside of my pride, I am unable to receive truth from the Word of God, unable to receive truth from the elders of this body, unable to receive encouragement according to what the Word of God has to say? John MacArthur, in one of his commentaries, talked about sheep And I thought it would be really, really important for us, since we are called sheep in the Word of God, to consider a few things, specifically in the subject of humility. Number one is this, that sheep don't just take care of themselves. This requires to accept this humility. We want to believe we have the ability in and of ourselves to take care of ourselves. But the reality is we do not. We do not have the ability in and of ourselves to be conformed to the Word of God. We do not have the ability in and of ourselves to hear the Word of God and allow it or give it permission to transform our life. The Word of God invades a person's life through the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit, it starts to transform our lives. And as Christians, we don't think enough about our absolute dependence on the Word of God, and to think about our absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit's work through the Word of God to bring transformation. Or another way to think of it, when is the last time as a Christian that you thanked the Holy Spirit for opening your eyes and your ears to the truth of God's Word and not just giving you the ability to understand it, but also transforming your life in accordance to what it says? See, we want to believe that we can transform ourselves in and of ourselves, separating ourselves from the desperate need of eldership in our life, or specifically, eldership teaching us the Word of God. See, sheep don't just take care of themselves. See, sheep require more attention than any other class of livestock. In fact, they require endless attention and meticulous care. Why has God appointed elders in a church? Because of this very fact. We must humble ourselves and recognize, I need endless attention. I don't care how good an elder is, they cannot give you endless attention. I don't care how good an elder is, they cannot give you the meticulous kind of care that you need to grow in your relationship with Christ. But that is where the Holy Spirit comes in. And the Holy Spirit is going to use eldership. The Holy Spirit is going to use those who have the gift of teaching. The Holy Spirit is going to use community. And the Holy Spirit is going to use your personal time in the Word to be giving you endless attention and meticulous care in the transformation of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, do you think like this? God, I require an endless amount of attention. God, I require meticulous care if I am going to be transformed by your Word. I can't do this. I am unable to do the very task that I have been called to do without your Word transforming me by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is so essential for us to get, because very few of us, again, think on a regular basis that as a sheep, this is the kind of attention I need. Here's another fact about a sheep. If they get lost, they can't find their way home. See, in and of themselves, if a sheep gets lost, it will remain lost. Why are elders so important inside of a body of believers? Because they have the task of recognizing when one of the sheep has started to wander away and to use the Word of God to draw them back into exactly where it is that they need to be. See, elders need to have a mindfulness, and the only way we're going to see it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not empowering elders, they will not see. They will not be aware when members of the flock begin to wander off, because we naturally, as sheep, wander away from where we should be. Another fact about sheep, if they are hungry or thirsty, they can't find food or water by themselves. They must be led to where food and water is. One of the main tasks of eldership is to either preach or teach this book so that the flock can dine on it, to be nourished by it, to grow strong in it. Again, even though at this church we talk all the time about the Word of God and the essential nature of it, I don't know if enough on a daily basis we're walking inside of that, thinking, I can't wait for Thursday. I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait to be taught on Tuesday night. I can't wait to be in the class. I can't wait to open up the Word of God. Because what can start to happen is this can become a task because unfortunately we are dining on other things to try to find nourishment. And by the way, there are plenty of things out there for us to dine on. Leading into our next point, sheep will literally eat poisonous plants and destroy their own pasture if they are left to themselves. If the shepherd is to leave them, they will eat things that are poisonous without even acknowledging the danger of it. See, sheep need to be protected from things that are poisonous. Again, I don't offer you my ideas. Jeremy's ideas are not protecting people from the poison that is in this world. What protects us from the poison that is in this world is the Word of God. We don't need elders. We don't need teachers. We don't need community that gives worldly advice. What we need is the Word of God. We need to dig in ourselves and be ready to receive so that our minds and our hearts do not begin to get poisoned and or when we are not receiving what we ought, we have the tendency to start to devour our community, to start to attack one another, to start to get irritated, to start to consider, is this the place for me? Well, here's the question you always want to ask yourself when considering, is this the place for me? Is the Word of God preached? Is it preached faithfully? Is the Word of God taught faithfully? Is the Word of God a centerpiece of the flock of the community of believers? If so, there is no better place for you to be than a place like that. And so this is why it is so important that we treasure the Word of God as we ought. And as elders, we are constantly pointing people towards it. And then a few more. Sheep can't clean themselves, think about that, can't protect themselves, and will only flee in panic when they are attacked if a shepherd is not around to keep them where they need to be for safety. So think about that. When is the last time that you literally considered, I am unable to protect myself? I am unable to clean myself? If I'm going to be attacked at my own devices, as by the way it talks about, that's going to happen. In the next bit of scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 5, that we have an enemy, the devil, prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's real. Like you're in danger, and one of the responsibilities of the eldership is to watch out for this. This is important for us to get because we, in and of ourselves, will gladly walk into danger. And not only will we gladly walk into danger, unfortunately, there are even those who claim Christ who boldly walk into danger because of their refusal to do life in accordance to God's word. And so with that opening here this evening, let's go ahead and jump into 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it says this, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ as well, as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." The word "so" is actually very, very important here because it's talking about to look back at what was actually said right before it. And I want us to consider verse 19 of chapter 4 because it says this, "Therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." This is so important for the eldership to read. It's important for us to think about this regularly. Well, to think about what? This very thing, that number one, those who are truly, passionately, fervently pursuing Christ are going to suffer. And one of the main ways that you're going to suffer is in the flesh. Because when you're desiring to live according to this book, there is going to be resistance in your flesh to deny it and push it away. In his eldership, we have to be able to be aware when someone is suffering, when somebody is struggling, when somebody is in the heat of the battle, and maybe they're on the brink of giving in, on the brink of giving up, of walking away, of no longer believing this book. And sometimes it is our responsibility as fellow sheep to go to the elders and say, look, all I want you to know is be praying for so-and-so. They're going through a difficult time right now. See, eldership has to be trusted. if it's going to be beneficial for the flock. Trusted that any information they receive, they're going to use it for the glory of God. And this is one of the most difficult tasks for men and women, even those who are in eldership. To steward all suffering, all struggling, all information well. And yet this is something that we have to understand, that there are going to be those that are suffering according to God's will because they are resisting their fleshly desires, along with, specifically in this context, as they were living for the glory of God and living in accordance to his word, not only was there the fleshly battle that was going on, but there was a resistance of persecution going on that was causing people to no longer want to walk in accordance to God's word. It encourages the believers in verse 19 to entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Well, if I'm going to entrust my soul to a faithful creator, I have to understand that this faithful creator is trustworthy. I want you to hear that. If you genuinely as a believer are going to entrust yourself in the way that you ought, you actually have to know that this God is trustworthy. And if you don't know much about this God, you're not going to know he's trustworthy, which again goes back to the task of the eldership. We have the responsibility to preach our God in full truth, in full understanding, in full counsel, so you see him as trustworthy, as faithful, as creator, as sovereign, as all-knowing, as all-powerful, one who can fully be trusted. Is that your God? Not a God that is hesitant to trust. A God that you are unsure if what he is doing towards you is actually good. A God that you believe with all your heart loves you, and that all that is happening towards you is loving from the Father, even when it's suffering. And then to see not only is this person suffering according to God's will and for his glory, not only are they entrusting themselves, but they're not stopping in living according to this book. See, elders need to never be satisfied with where their flock is. Never be okay with their knowledge of the word. Never be okay with their commitment to the word. Never be okay with the transformation that has come on behalf of the word, but constantly be looking at the flock and saying, because of the reality that you have an enemy, your commitment, your passion for the word of God is necessary. So that is covering the so. Let's move on to the rest of it. He tells us that he is exhorting the elders. This is him literally telling the elders, you need to do what I'm getting ready to say with everything in you. And what he's exhorting the elders to do is to point the flock in a specific direction. He's like, when you are leading, when you are shepherding, when you are eldering, that's really not a word, when you are eldering, you want to be pointing the flock in a certain direction. I would like you to consider a few verses in Hebrews chapter 13, if you would flip over there with me tonight. It's just a few pages to your left. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 7, 17, and then 20 and 21. Starting in verse 7 of Hebrews 13, it says this. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. See, this is what he's exhorting the elders to be an example of. This very thing we're getting ready to talk about here. He's saying, guys, I need you to be an example of speaking the word of God, and I need you to be an example of a life worthy to imitate. A life worthy to imitate. If someone aspires to be an elder, I would say to them two things. Number one, fall madly in love with the word of God. Plead with God every day that you love his word. And then secondarily, that word isn't just something that you know, but that word is something that you do, so that the congregation can actually follow your example. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. There is no such thing as a perfect elder. And I also want to remind you of this, that an elder is also a sheep. See, we don't become something else in his flock, but there are those who are called as fellow sheep to lead the sheep from an eldership position. Or another way to say it, I also am unable to take care of myself. I am not able to operate independent of the very things you are dependent on. I can't afford to not be in the Word of God every day because I'm an elder. I cannot afford to not be dependent on the Holy Spirit because I'm an elder. I cannot afford to not be encouraged or encourage others because I am an elder. I am absolutely dependent on the exact same things you are, yet called by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be an example of those very things, and in fact, the kind of example that you should all aspire for. That you never look this way, but that you look this way to aspire. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said literally this statement, imitate me as I imitate Christ. These are the words of Paul. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is a goal of mine. That someday, maybe when I'm 60, 70, 80, I don't know if the Lord tarries that long or gives me that long, that I would even consider uttering such a statement. To follow me as I follow Christ, or you should see Christ in what I'm doing. This is the message of verse 7. Let's flip over to verse 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. And I want to stop right there. You don't need to obey or submit to anything unless it's this. You have no business submitting to Jeremy unless Jeremy is giving you the word of God. You have no business submitting to any elder in this church unless they are giving you the word of God. Because it's actually not beneficial for you to submit to me, because I'm just a dumb sheep like you. I have nothing to offer any of you if it is not the word of God. So it would be a disservice for you to submit to me if what I am presenting is not based and bound and flowing out of the word of God. So obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Two things to point out here, and one of them I'll spend a little bit more time on at the end of the sermon here tonight. I'm going to have to give an account. And I'm going to have to give the biggest account because I speak the most. And there's also elders in this church that are going to have to give an account because God has given them responsibility over you guys. Like, we are going to stand an account for what it is that we gave to you to operate with. Just like a car, it doesn't need water in the gas tank. If we put water in your gas tank, you will not run. And in the same way, if you reject the gasoline into your tank, you will not run. You must be desperate to hear from your elders, specifically when they're giving you the word of God. And for time's sake, I would like us just to look at verse 21. It says this, talking about Christ, he is going to equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He has provided everything you need, believer, to please him. What is that provision? The word of God. What is the way it comes to us? In preaching, in teaching, in encouragement. That is what you need to be equipped to live a pleasing life for him. And you should be excited to live a pleasing life in accordance to God's word. Flip with me quickly back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm just going to warn you, we're going to be doing some flipping here in the next 20 minutes. It tells us this, I exhort the elders, plural, among you. I want you to consider that the word of God calls for a plurality or to have more than one elder in a church. And as we discuss this tonight, you will be able to see why it would be dangerous to have just one elder. And we're not going to flip here tonight. I would encourage you in your own time to do this, but I would have you consider 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And to understand that elders at any given point are not going to be batting 1,000 in any of these areas in their life. And yet, a elder who genuinely gets the call is going to be passionately pursuing those things. With everything in them, to want to be the best teacher that they can be, to want to be as self-controlled and sound-minded as they can be, to want to be as gentle as they can be, to manage their household as well as they can according to God's will for His glory, to avoid any trap that Satan could set to catch them off guard, but to also understand this and why praying for your elders is so essential. Because elders, to avoid having pride, more often than not, are given a thorn in their flesh, something that they will struggle with, something that will be difficult for them. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we see Paul talking about that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. In fact, he calls it a messenger of Satan to keep him humble based on the revelations that God had given to him. That God had done so much awesome things in Paul's life that He gave him a thorn to keep from becoming conceited. And as an elder who has been preaching the Word of God for 2 decades, I can tell you that God lovingly gives me thorns to keep me humbly dependent on Him. And so do not think that your elders will not have hardships and struggles and will always have everything perfectly in order in their life, but you ought to pray that for them. You ought to pray for your eldership, your leadership. God, let them live in such a way that they glorify your name and that they are examples worthy of following. Not just 1 Timothy 3:1-7, even though that's a brilliant starting point, but of the full counsel of this book. That we desperately don't just settle for those things, but that we want to be an example of every single part of this book, and that we gladly will bear our thorn for the privilege and honor of getting to do this task. See, the church, His bride, is incredibly precious to Christ. The church was bought with His blood. I want you to consider that. Not just the elders consider that, but church, consider you are bought by Christ's blood. You are precious to Him. And in light of that, that should move you to action. What kind of action? To hear from His word, to treasure His word, to anticipate the preaching and teaching of His word, to anticipate encouragement from His word, to realize that He purchased you with His blood. He loves you with a covenantal love that nothing can separate you from. Nothing. Oh, how we should manage and lead and teach and preach as elders in light of that kind of love that He has for His church. Consider His great love for you regularly and let it lead you to this book. Consider that He loves you so much that He would call a man to stand up here behind this wooden box and teach this to you because He loves you. He's loving you through anyone who faithfully preaches and teaches this book. And so not only should you treasure and honor this book and treasure and honor God, but also understand that we should also treasure and honor the elders among us who are faithful to preaching this book. See, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says something really, really awesome. He says, so I exhort the elders among you, a fellow elder, humbling himself, by the way, and then making this statement authoritatively, and I was a witness, a firsthand witness of the suffering of Christ, and I'm also, as a sufferer myself, someday going to participate in the glory that is going to be revealed. One of the most exciting things for me as an elder is that I am going to be judged. I am going to be judged for my faithfulness to the Word of God because He tells me there's going to be a crown of glory waiting for me. And I'm excited about that, and I know it's going to be difficult and hard, but elders and men who aspire to be elders, keep in mind it's worth it. There is a glory that is coming, and this glory is going to make much of Christ, and we get to participate in it. And again, not just as elders, but also as His flock. But there is a special crown for those who lead according to the Word of God in the office of eldership. Let's look at verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those that are in your charge, but being examples to the flock. See, exercising oversight literally means this: to know the true condition of the flock. I want to actually know how you're doing. I want to hear when God's doing something in your life. One of the toughest parts about being at the top is usually you just hear the negative. And listen, that's part of the job, right? Like, we get that as eldership. You got to fix the problems. You got to deal with the hardships. You got to work through these things. Yes, and praise God. But oh, how glorious it is to hear of the great things God is doing in your life. You want to be an encouragement to an elder? Don't just go to them when you need something. Go to them and tell them about what it is that God is doing in your life in light of them faithfully preaching and teaching and exampling the Word of God. Be faithful to that, because it will be an encouragement to the elders. It will be an encouragement for me and the rest of the elders to hear the great things that God is doing in your life. And let us not be lax in sharing with you the great things that God is doing in our life. See, we need to be an example of rejoicing and praising God for the great things that He is doing. This is a part of understanding condition, not just the poor condition at times of our dirty sheep that have wandered away and gotten themselves into trouble, but also being aware of when God is gloriously restoring them, sanctifying them, strengthening them, and using them in a way to glorify His great name. This is what it means to exercise oversight, to not just deal with the hardships, but to also rejoice. We need to lovingly lead and guard and feed the flock. How do we do that? Again, by the Word of God. There's no magical way to do this. We don't look inside of ourselves to figure out how to lead and guard and feed the flock. We give you as much of this as we possibly can. You might ask yourself the question, why do we read the Scripture before we go into worship? Because the Word of God changes people's lives. Why does Jake at times read a portion of Scripture in the middle of singing praises to God's name? Because the Word of God changes people's lives. Why do we now, when we start our prayer time, read the Word of God at 6:15 or at 4:30 on a Sunday? Because the Word of God changes lives. I don't change lives. Elders don't change lives. The Word of God working through elders, working through teachers, working through a congregation is what changes people's lives. How essential is the Word of God? It is absolutely essential. And that's why we encourage people to be in it daily. Because I can't be protected. I can't be led. I can't be fed. I cannot have oversight exercised over me if I don't want this with everything in me. See, the elders have a responsibility, but so do you. Not only are we supposed to preach and teach faithfully, but you're supposed to receive in humility faithfully, even when you do not like what the Word of God has to say. See, elders are supposed to be an example of holiness, and not just in a few areas. We as human beings love to flaunt what we're good at. Look at me. I'm good at this. I'm good at preaching and teaching. Jeremy, are you good at loving your wife? But don't look at that. I'm good at preaching and teaching. But are you good in self-control? Yeah, can we keep that behind the curtain? Because I'm really good at this. See, the temptation of all of humanity, but specifically in leadership, is to ask people's attention to be focused on what I'm great at. That's not sanctification. Sanctification is to confront what we are struggling in. To confront us when we fail and ask God by the power of His Word through the Holy Spirit to transform our lives in a way that is imitation worthy. And see, elders should not be the only people who desire to be imitated. As Christians, we should all desire to be imitated. But oh, how important is it that elders desire to be imitated? See, elders should lead their flock with passion and joy. We shouldn't do it under compulsion. We should do it with absolute joy, with love for the flock. See, this again is something only the Holy Spirit of God can create. I can love you for you, but I cannot love your soul without the Holy Spirit working in my life. I can love you because you're nice to me. I can love you because you're complimentary. I can love you because when you come over, you tell me how great I am or how the sermon touched your life. I can love you in light of those things. But I cannot love you as a dirty, miserable, panic-stricken, anxiety-stricken, fearful, falling apart every minute of every day member of this flock without the Holy Spirit empowering me to do it. If you are ever loved, with Jesus' love, let the glory be given to him. If you are ever touched by the word of God in a way that transforms your life, let the glory be given to him, because trust me, I don't want to do this under compulsion. I don't want to do this for any reason other than the joy of following Jesus Christ. And if I have any hope of having a genuine love for you, it will be by giving you this book. In Acts chapter 20, I would encourage you to turn over there sometime this week and look at it. I have a few of the verses here, but I love when Paul is getting ready to leave that flock. And as he's getting ready to sail out, he tells them, I faithfully preach to you the whole counsel of God. And they're weeping with Paul. They're weeping because he was faithful to tell them the truth, and they didn't want him to go, and they loved him so much, not because he was a great tent maker, not because he wore the best cologne in town, not because he knew how to charm the community. It's because he faithfully preached the word of God, and the flock loved him for it. As a flock, we need to love those who preach the word of God, and we as elders need to love our flock in accordance to the word of God. It also tells us that we not need to do this for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in our charge, but again, being examples. See, as elders, we need to serve with the right motives for God-honoring gain. I want us to turn one more time tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want us to look at a few verses there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 17. I want you to hear this, because this is really, really important for us to grasp as we start to finish this up tonight. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 17. It says, let all the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Task number one, by the way. Ruling well, doing everything that we have been talking about here tonight, being an example that is worthy of being followed, being an example of dealing with problems and strife and struggle in accordance to the word of God. And then it says this, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. See, there are those within eldership that are called to labor in preaching and teaching more than others, but every elder needs to be equipped to teach people according to this book. I labor in this as the head or lead pastor of this flock. I labor in this at times 25 to 30 hours a week laboring in this book. So that when I share truth with you, it's not Jeremy's truth. It's the truth of the word of God, and I labor in that. That's something worth being benefited from. That is something that is honorable. In fact, the word of God says those who do that should receive double honor. And this is talking about financial in this portion of Scripture. It's not saying an amount. But what I believe it is saying, and I want you guys to hear this, is the last thing an elder who is laboring for preaching and teaching should worry about is where his next meal is coming from. He should not be so consumed about the things of this world that he cannot be fully committed to this book because of how valuable it is for you to receive it. And in fact, this office is so important that it says this in verse 19, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. It is severe to bring a charge against an elder. And then it says this, as for the elders who persist in sin, rebuke them, not privately, Not private, hear this, but in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. When you are in this office, if you choose to persist in sin, you don't have the luxury of a private encounter. If I persist in sin, I should be rebuked up front here. You should be told up front here. This is not a private matter. Why? Because of the importance of this office, because of what it does, because what is required of it and the impact that it has on this body. And that is why a poor attitude in doing it or falling into the negatives of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, are absolutely unacceptable. I know I told you we were only flipping to one more verse. I'm taking that back. I want you to quickly turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, because I want you to hear what Paul says here. This should be the heart of every single elder. And then we'll wrap this up. It says this: I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Paul said something so beautiful here. He said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Let this be the proclamation of everyone who would stand up here in front of a flock, that I will most gladly be spent and spend for your souls, that I will love you knowing that I will be loved by God the Father through this flock. And oh, how faithful he has been to love me through you. See, intimidation and control and personal views are to be discarded as elders. And being a biblical example and teaching biblical truth is to be embraced. And in fact, Paul tells Timothy here, if you want to be faithful, put before men the word of God. Put that before them over and over and over and over again, and train up men who will do that for the flock and will relentlessly give them the word of God over and over and over again. Because friends, there is no hope for any of us outside of the word of God. None. No hope for strength. No hope for any of all of the issues talked about here when it comes to sheep. There is no hope for any of us to do anything but panic in this world without the word of God. To finish tonight, I want you to consider this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us that when the chief shepherd comes, he will reward those elders who have served him according to his word. There are two verses that elders should keep in front of their face at all times. And one of them, I believe we all should. In James 3:1, it warns us that those who teach will be judged more strictly. And I don't just think this is God, even though he will. I think this is people. They should judge strictly those who preach and teach the word of God. Why? Because it's of its essential nature. But also Matthew 25:23, where God says these beautiful words: well done, my good and faithful servant. Come enjoy the joy of your master. We as Christians should want to hear that said to us. And how much more as elders should we desire when we stand before God that he would tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come enjoy the joy of your master. Cannot wait for that day. If I am to be here, let it be fruitful labor. And if he is to take me home, it is gain. And as long as he will have me here, I will faithfully preach this book. And with everything in me, I will hold this eldership, as I hope you will join me in doing, to be faithful to this book and to live in accordance to it and to rule and lead and teach in accordance to what it says. So tonight, let us take a moment and pray for the eldership of the church. And let us take a moment to pray that our hearts would be receptive to the faithful preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. And then here in a moment, I will close us out.